You know, sometimes working in the media, we forget, don't we, Tanya, that, you know, there are particular things we're trained on in the legal world these days and combining with social media. And then we see what's happened in the recent week with the alleged charge of the man with the 11-year-old girl, which is horrifying. And then all of a sudden Facebook is sharing his face and they're going, this guy, which can possibly impede with the court case. We know that.
Well, yeah, and we even had the Chief Superintendent from Newcastle Police on yesterday urging people not to share this bloke's face, name, all of that. And even though we posted that and tried to encourage people to take down their posts, the anger still came through going, why shouldn't we be sharing this alleged perpetrator of this alleged sexual assault? So in order for us to get some more clarity and to explain to people the implications and the possible consequences that this could have on a case, we wanted to go the legal expert. And so we've got Nicholas Pullen, who is a partner at HWL Ebsworth. He specialises in media and entertainment, and he's with us. Hello, Nicholas.
Morning, guys.
Nicholas, straight to the point, if, you know, his face is branded all over the place and judged on social media, would the defence then be able to go in and say it's already preordained, his suspicion, et cetera, et cetera? A jury has been, for want of a better word, contaminated?
Yep. Look, there is certainly good argument by defence counsel to say those type of things. A lot of it depends very much for the reason that the suppression order has been brought into existence. But that is something that the defence can argue. That is because there was suppression on the identification of this person, that will prejudice or risk a fair trial.
And what about the people posting themselves that are identifying this person? Could they be mixed up and risk prosecution themselves?
Yeah, suppression orders are very serious. An infringement of a suppression order is a criminal offence, meaning that anyone infringing that order is exposing themselves to fines, if not jail.
Does it come under contempt of court, Nicholas?
Exactly. To infringe a suppression order is a contempt of court, which in layman's terms is interfering with the due administration of justice.
So, Nicholas, the people that are still getting angry going, hang on, you know, we want this person,
named
and shamed. What do you say? Take your posts down. And do people in your profession, would they be scouring social media for evidence that people have put his name and face out there?
Well, two things there. Certainly, anyone who's doing that needs to counter-tend very seriously, take a deep breath and don't do it. The law's the law and there is just no defence if it's found that you're infringing a suppression order. And secondly, yes, if counsel for the defendant thinks that there is a serious proposition here of an unfair trial, then yes, social media, all forms of media for that matter, will be scoured for presentation in court at a later date.
Oh, well, certainly, Tanya and my biggest fear when it started rolling, when, you know, the arrest and then off it went, and I know both of us thought this is not good. As much as we've absolutely sensed the fury, the anger, that you want to get that face out, this is the mongrel, et cetera, et cetera. You know, at the end of the day, we want a pure court case so the right thing can be done.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, venting that fury by identifying this person is actually, may very well prevent the trial of this person, and that's the last thing you want to have happening. So there is this need to, you know, as I say, count to 10. The fury is totally understandable, but the law does do these things for good reason.
Nicholas, we appreciate your time. That's all that really needs to be said. Thank you.
Good on you. Thanks.
All right. Well, there's Nicholas Pullen. He's a partner at HWL Ebsworth. And so people need to exercise constraint. You need to really take a breath, take a step back and take down any social media postings that you have put up.
The thing that, like you said, take a breath, it's about don't think right or wrong. Just think how it is.
Well, it's the consequences of your actions.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only for the case, but for you personally. You've just heard that if you are, you know, I'm going to use the word guilty of contravening this suppression order, you yourself could be in a lot of trouble. So there's no point in everyone going, well, it's my right. It's not your right.
No.
It's got to take its due process in the courts. So we've all just got to step back and, you know what we should be doing? Get the hate out and just think loving thoughts towards that poor little girl and her family.
And let the judiciary system run its course. Yeah, totally agree.
Tenure and Steve.
Newcastle's KOFM, it's 8:42. It's going to be cold, wet and windy again today. Tops of 16 degrees around the Hunter today. And the wet weathers and shower will continue over the next couple of days, Tenure and Steve.
You know, having Lorke's 18th last week got us thinking about, you know, Mike and I just over a glass of wine, we're talking about the couple of occasions that we may have let our son down.
Oh, geez, that was a long night. Big night, was it?
There were two standouts for me.
Yeah.
One was many, many years ago when he jumped into the pool and he came up going, oh, I've got a sore ankle. And I was like, oh, man up. And that man up went on for a few weeks. A couple of months later, we found out he actually fractured his foot. And so it kind of let him down a little bit there because he was still playing soccer on it and all sorts of things. And I actually didn't believe him that he was in pain.
Tenure.
I know. So there was that occasion. One more I do recall. Again, it's a soccer story.
Rise, take a seat, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to just get comfortable,
because
Steve.
After this one, you go, oh, by the way, there is this one.
No,
too.
No.
Oh, it's endless. Trust me.
I'm limiting myself to two. Another soccer story. Another morning, up early, as most soccer parents would know, and it was like, quickly eat your cereal. We've got to get out the door because I was on, you know, orange duty. And he's going, what? He was only about six. Mum, there's all these little wiggly things in my cereal. No, there's not. Hurry up and eat your cereal. Because he had a vivid imagination. And eventually, when he'd said it about 12 times, I looked over and sure enough, there were weevils in his cereal. And
not maggots?
No, they were weevils.
Weevils.
Yeah. Which people that came out on the First Fleet used to love. So.
And that's the angle you went with him?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding?
There's protein in their weevil son.
Yeah, your forefathers lived on that, mate. It was like on a cruise ship.
So. There are occasions when we parents do let our kids down. Come on, Mister. I'm not so perfect.
If you want to chime in, by the way, honestly, we'd love to hear your examples. 4942 1029. Make Tenure feel a little bit better on this one. 4942 1029.
I could think of a moment, but I can't. I'm just, you know. Perfect.
Well, look, if you are a grown person, maybe there is an occasion you can recall when your parents actually let you down.
Yep.
There may have been this time when he came off his scooter and said he'd broken his shoulder and collarbone and everything, and we were going, don't be silly, you'd be in a lot more pain. And it's very similar to the foot story with Lorke. 3 days later, x-rays, yeah, might have had a broken collarbone. I blame Karen.
I did too.
Yeah, because I remember saying to her, are you sure?
Because she's hard like me.
Yeah.
Be like,
yeah, that's right, yeah. No, seriously, yeah, broken collarbone.
Oh, it's awful.
And to this day, he brings it up.
They'll never forget it, Steve. Even at the 18th, it came up. What about the time you made me eat worms? No, I didn't. They were weevils and they were good for you.
Okay, one quick one while I'm here. Putting his wetsuit on when he was three with a zip up the back.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I did.
Oh, skin
up the back.
Caught in
the... I went, hang on, mate. And I squinted and took half his skin back
no.
up the zipper.
Then you've got to unzip it.
I have a feeling he's actually listening to this now and he would have been yelling at the radio for me to say it because he brings it up once a week.
Sorry, right. BJ.
I can trump your back. Michael did it with the fly. It was. There's something about Mary moment. Paul Lorke. Seriously.
Oh, I so hope Lorke's listening now that we're talking about his PP on the radio. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
Now, was it you that let the kids down or were you let down?
No, I let the kids down. This is only recent. I've got a 20-year-old and a 13-year-old. The 20-year-old had a touch of gastro, said, look, you'd be fine, you know, and I took my 13-year-old to a concert at Lazotte, daytime concert on a Sunday.
Right.
I come home and he had actually fainted.
Oh, Mum.
And we know what's bad about this. I'm a nurse.
Oh.
So this is just an ongoing joke that, you know, don't have a mother who's a nurse because they leave you at home when you've got a bit of vomiting and you'll faint.
Actually, that's not even an ongoing joke, Chris. That's just a fact. If you are married to, if it is a mother or a sister, a nurse, forget it. They won't care about you.
Oh, no, I actually do. But in this instance, I actually still feel really bad, guys. So, look, have a great day.
You too, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Oh, Lana.
Oh. Hey, Lana.
Hello.
What's yours, mate?
Well,
when back in the day in school they used to send the free things to school, like the dentist or your hearing?
Oh, yeah, the travelling, yes.
Like yeah.
My mum always used to say, like, you know, we did a checkup and they go, oh, you need new teeth, or you need this, that, the braces, or you need blah, blah, blah. Well, when, like, 2 years ago, my mum keeps the glory box of all the school things, and one of them was this piece of paper that said, when we have a hearing test, go get your daughter tested because she's got issues with her left ear. Well, to this day, I am 85% deaf of my left ear and it can't be fixed.
Oh.
And she never checked it. In other words, she never even read it.
I was like, seriously, Mum, you could have gotten this so sorted, like, when I was a child. Now I'm sitting here with a deaf ear and everyone going, why can't you hear me? Well, blame my mother.
Wow.
She really did let you down. Jeez.
Let's move on with Chris.
Chris, what happened?
How are you going?
Good.
Well, I was out riding with my brother and my father. On motorbikes, and my little brother broke his ankle in 3 spots, and my dad thought he was just joking and wasn't in much pain, so he made him ride the rest of the day, another 6 hours of riding until he thought he was actually in pain.
On a broken leg.
Oh, God. That's awful.
We're good, aren't we?
Thanks, Chris. Shireen.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
What's yours, mate?
My son, my husband had taken the kids to the beach, and my son had actually got multiple blue bottle stings. And because he was in so much pain, he was hyperventilating and insisting that he had to go to the hospital. But my husband and my daughter were laughing so much at him hyperventilating that they drove all the way home laughing at him. And by the time they got home, I had to shut them out of the bathroom just to get the kid away from these hysterical, horrible people laughing at him, just to rinse him off, because they just thought it was so funny because he just couldn't breathe over a blue bottle sting.
And they couldn't stop laughing to help him.
No, they just thought it was hysterical because he's looking at him, it's like, it's a blue bottle sting, you're not hyperventilating, mate, you're not going to die, it's just a blue bottle sting. And the poor kids, had to literally shut them out of the room and just go, let me deal with this poor child.
I feel his pain, Shireen, because I'm allergic to bees, this is a true story, and if a bee stings me, my whole head just kaboom, right? Same thing, my dad couldn't stop laughing so hard at how I looked at my lip and I couldn't talk. Mum came down and said, we've got to get him to the hospital.
He might die.
Dad couldn't stop laughing.
Dear, oh,
have a look at him, love.
Laughing on the other side of his face.
That would have been a win for me, wouldn't it?
Hey, Tina, that'll teach you, Dad. Let's wrap it up. I think we've got another
Kelly
PP story here.
Hello,
Kelly. Hi.
What happened?
Well, my son complained of a sore testicle.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, oh, you just don't want to go to school. Come on, get up, get dressed, go to school. Stop being a wuss. Well, I made him go to school, and then that afternoon I had to rush him to the hospital, and he had to have an emergency operation because he had a twisted testicle.
Oh! Kelly, you're the worst parent we've spoken to this morning.
Oh my God!
No, I'm sorry, Kelly. Tanya's right. Once you get a twisted testicle, nothing can beat it.
How is it now?
Well, it got saved, so they never had to cut it out, thank God.
Yeah, no, they can untwist. And Kelly, what's your son's name?
No, don't.
I'll tell you that he's actually sitting next to me in the car and he's devastated. That
Can you put him on, please, Kelly?
Oh, my God. Sure.
Yeah, just put him on. I just want to talk to him. Hang on.
He's on. Hello?
Oh, no. I thought your voice would be higher.
She is a double bad parent. Not only telling the story, but putting him on the radio.
Oh, mate.
That's awful. You poor thing. Okay.
Oh, wow.
He's a man of few words.
Yeah, he's gone.
All right.
Hello. I was expecting something very different. Yeah, exactly.
Tanya and Steve, thanks for your call. 1029 KWFM 754. This is Tanya and Steve. Thanks to Domain Electrical's half-yearly clearance. It hits turbo mode. You can get an extra 10% off lots at the moment. Tanya and Steve.
I say don't do it.
Well, Brizy is facing a dilemma. Mm. His little kids have never seen snow.
Well, Stella has.
Oh, that's right.
But it was a couple of years ago now.
She can't remember.
Can't remember. And Oscar was about 3 months old, so I don't think he can remember either.
And Barrington Tops, as we know, has received a bit of a dumping, and we actually can use the word dumping rather than dusting for a change.
Yes.
The photos look incredible,
yeah.
Tara and Steve.
By the time you finish and get up there, mate, it'll be all rained away.
How long does it take? I don't even know how long it takes to get to the Barrington Tops.
Depends on where you go. I mean, at the
wherever the most snow is.
Well, you know what? We've got a bloke on the phone, Jack.
Jeez, that's lucky.
He was. Well, I'm actually a member of the Barrington Tops Snow Chasers.
Nerd.
and you get all the great photos.
You do.
So, yeah.
That was the ones you posted yesterday.
I know.
Were really good photos.
Looks like Threadbow almost.
Yeah. I didn't believe there was that much drop.
That's what I mean. It's an official dumping. So, Jack, you were up there yesterday.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I head up early morning and checked it out.
How long's it going to last, Jack?
Going on the reports, it would have been snowing last night, probably some this morning, but I'd say this rain would be starting to melt it.
Yeah. Well, but that's if they're getting the rain up there, because I know how much we copped it over the long weekend, and I know our boss was up there camping, and I kept waiting for Post to go, well, soggy Saturday coming home.
The rain didn't hit there.
Rain didn't go near Barrington.
You're not going to believe this.
What?
Like, we're just talking snow, and we've had Jack been there. You didn't mention our boss was up there. Our boss is in the studio. How lucky is this? So, Ashka, this is amazing. What a strike of luck we're having.
Hello, Ash. Now,
good morning,
how
guys.
How freezing was it up there, Ash?
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
But
it was
cold.
Oh, yeah, missed the snow.
Okay.
And the water is absolutely like ice.
Yes.
But it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, okay, so how long does it take to get up there?
I reckon about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, see?
Oh, see, too late. I can't get up there and back in enough time, I don't think, Tenure and Steve.
Well, Jack, how many inches on the ground did you see yesterday?
It was definitely 10 to 15 centimetres in some spots.
Wow.
That's a lot for the Barrington Tops.
Normally it's that dusting thing and I kind of roll my eyes, but you're right, it's a dump. And judging by your photos, it's a good fall.
Yeah.
The best we've had probably in a few years.
Good on you, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Too late, Rise.
By the time I get home, it'll be like 11.
No, you made maybe. If only the boss was here to give you an early mark.
He's shaking his head.
Oh, bugger. You'll have to go to Threadbow.
And you need a four-wheel drive, mate.
Yes.
Yeah, and better tyres on my car, according to Steve.
Yeah, tyres with treads always good around snow.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's what the Barrington Top Snow Chasers are big on. Do not go anywhere near the tops when it's snowing with just, you know, two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Must be four-wheel drive, and make sure you tell someone you're going.
Again, with our boss, he was up there in his Ferrari. And
Ash
was saying some of the corners are hell with a Ferrari.
All right, official call. I don't think I'm going to go
today.
This time, Tenure and Steve.
Not today.
7:57. This is Tenure and Steve.
Back to the playground,
KOFM.
Mate.
KOFM.